One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him. And Jesus went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known what sort of woman this is who was touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And Simon answered, "Say it, teacher." A certain moneylender had two debtors, one owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. "Now, which of them will love him more?" And Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." And then turning to the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she's not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who was forgiven little loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." We have been letting Luke introduce us to Jesus, watching the activities of Jesus in an effort to discover who he is. Who he is, that we might be able to have faith in him. In this particular story, Jesus is invited to the home of a Pharisee by the name of Simon. Now, that's not particularly unusual. Jesus was invited to a number of other Pharisees' homes for dinner, except that we're not sure why at least this Pharisee, Simon, invited Jesus over. Did he invite him over because Simon wanted to become a Christian and wanted to know more about Jesus? Or because Simon wanted to prove that Jesus was a fake, was a heretic, was a phony, and prove him false? Why did Simon want Jesus there for his meal? And why did Simon invite all these others to come? Well, in the course of that meal, there was a woman who comes, an uninvited guest. And this woman comes in, and she goes directly to Jesus and begins to weep, to cry. And in fact, the Greek word is breccio. Breccio is the word that is used for a rainstorm. You might say she was crying buckets of tears. And as she cried, her tears fell on Jesus' feet. She began to wipe off her tears, trying to correct what she feels that maybe is an inappropriate thing, and with her hair. And then she takes this ointment that she has brought along with her, and she begins to anoint his feet with this ointment, a very expensive perfume. Well, it's about that time that we are told about Simon's response. Now, Simon seems to be a bit shocked or taken back by these events. Taken back partly because here's this woman crashing his party. She wasn't invited. And because this woman, everybody knows, she's a woman of the city, she's a sinner, She's not one of their kind. And he's shocked because Jesus is not shocked. I mean, he's shocked because Jesus seems to be accommodating, at least tolerating this kind of conduct, which obviously is very inappropriate. Well, Jesus notices Simon's shock. And so Jesus tells Simon and the others that are there a story. And his story goes that there were these two people who owed money to this lender. And this money lender lent one of these people 500 denarii. And the other one he lent 50 denarii. Now, to kind of give you an idea of how much we're talking about, a denarii is about 2 days' wages. So you can just take whatever you get for working 2 days and multiply it by 500. Or you might say, one of these had a house mortgage he couldn't pay, and the other one had a car loan he couldn't pay. But the point is that both had borrowed this money from the same moneylender, and both couldn't afford to pay it back. And so in Jesus' story, the moneylender decides that he's going to forgive both their debts. The big one and the little one, the 500 one and the 50 one. And then after telling the story, Jesus turns to Simon and says, now, which do you think is going to be the most grateful for having what they owed forgiven? By the way, the word there for debt is the same word that we use in that prayer we prayed together. Remember, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. As a matter of fact, that the word forgive is also the same one as in that prayer. This money lender forgave the debts, which means that the money lender no longer had any claim on those he had lent the money to. He gave it up. Now, this was not free money. No, somebody paid for it. The money lender did. And Jesus then asked Simon, who do you think is going to be the more grateful? Simon, rather reluctantly, I want you to look at your text. He says, Simon says, I suppose it was the one who was forgiven the most. Say, well, come on, Simon, this isn't rocket science. You're not trying to pass the SAT. I mean, this is just like, yeah, this is pretty obvious. Well, I suppose. He doesn't want to play Jesus' game, but he has to admit probably the one who was forgiven the most. And Jesus, on hearing Simon's response, says, do you see this woman? By the way, if you got your Bibles, underline the question. That is probably the most important question in this whole text, although there's some other good questions. Do you see this woman? Says Jesus to Simon, I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, which is the polite thing to have done on a hot, dusty day in Jerusalem in the first century. But she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss. You didn't even give me a handshake. But from the time I came in, she's not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil. That's a bit unusual. But she has anointed my feet with expensive ointment. Simon, you did nothing to give me the impression that you really appreciated my presence, my being here, my response to your invitation. You haven't done anything to suggest that I'm really welcome here. But she has gone to the extreme to say how much she appreciates me and loves me. What she has done is real appreciation, real love. And you, Simon, all you could do is criticize her for being a woman of the city and for being a sinner. Jesus might have said to Simon, you know, Simon, has it ever occurred to you that those who really understand the wonders of forgiveness are the ones who demonstrate it in the most extreme ways. I wonder if the reason, Simon, you did not show any gestures of appreciation for my presence is because you don't know what I have done for you. You don't know who I am. You don't know about your own need. And then Jesus turns to the woman. I want you to notice this. This woman has no name. We never know her name. I think you could say she's every woman, or maybe every person. We're just woman. And this is the first time Jesus speaks to her. He says three things to her. Up to this time, the whole conversation has been between Jesus and Simon. And Jesus turns to the woman and says, first, your sins are forgiven. Which I think is something she already knows. But Jesus says it, I think, because Simon doesn't know it, and the others who are there don't know it. Your sins are forgiven. The second thing he says to this woman, Jesus does, is your faith has saved you, which may be something she didn't know. It's a certain thing that Simon didn't know it, but it's sort of like Jesus saying to this woman, you know, it's not your tears, it's not your sorrow, it's not your pain, it's not your wiping my feet with your hair, it's not the ointment that has saved you. It's appreciated, but that hasn't saved you. No, what has saved you is your faith. And then finally he says to her, go away in peace. I also want you to know, I get it. I know that because your sins are forgiven and you have faith, you have peace. That's the gift. Now, this series of messages in the Gospel of Luke that we have been following is to follow the actions of Jesus. Somebody recently said, you know, you haven't talked about what Jesus said, which is true. I mean, we haven't gone into the Sermon on the Mount. We haven't gone into any other teachings of Jesus, any of the parables. And the reason why is because it is my hope that we will be able to have faith in God because we look at what Jesus does, what he did. Jesus doesn't say, you have faith because of what you've done. You are saved because of your actions. You are saved because of the things I've told you, and you now are doing those. He doesn't say that at all. As a matter of fact, Paul says that we are not saved by our actions. We are not saved by the law. We are saved through faith. What is faith? Faith is trust in Jesus Christ. It is a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not the things we do, it's the relationship with the one who is the Savior. How do you get a relationship with Jesus? How does that happen? Let me give you three simple ways that could happen. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, here's a way to start. First of all, get to know who Jesus is. Now, that's true with anybody who you would meet, who you would like to have a relationship with. I mean, what's the first thing when you meet a stranger? What's the first thing you want to know? You want you to know your name. Well, got to know the name of Jesus. Well, the second thing is, so what do you do? How long have you been in Fairbanks? What brought you here? What do you do? Are you married? Do you have children? I mean, you want to know, you know, who is this person? And if you want a relationship with Jesus, that's a good place to start. Who are you? The second thing to do, if you want to have a relationship with someone, is to begin to have extended conversations with them. Now, I remember when I was dating the one who's now my wife, but I remember we used to spend hours talking. I mean, just some of the dumbest things you ever, I mean, if somebody were listening in on a conversation, they would go, that's weird. I remember she was in Scotland and I was in Laguna Beach, and we would get on the phone, and those phone calls would have broke the bank. We're just talking. But that's how you establish a relationship. How long have you talked to God? How many times have you been in prayer? I mean, if you want a relationship with God, that would be a good thing to do, to establish that relationship. And then experiences. Having experiences with somebody is a way you have a relationship. David and I went, he took me out dog sledding last Friday. Oh, that is so cool. I mean, those dogs are pretty amazing. I mean, they're real athletes. I was impressed. But I was having a relationship, not just with dogs, with David. I learned a lot about David by going out with him and going dog sledding with him. This moment is an experience with Jesus Christ. When we come to this table, this will be another experience with Jesus Christ. And as you live in Christ, those experiences accumulate one after the other, and that relationship begins to grow, and that's what's called faith. And Jesus said to this woman, "Your faith has saved you." And then finally, he says, "Go in peace." And that's what happens when your sins are forgiven and your faith has saved you. God's peace. So as we look at what Jesus does, as we look at the Gospel of Luke, we begin to establish that relationship with Jesus by looking at and knowing who he is and what he does. As the old saying goes, actions speak louder than words. We watch Jesus get born. We watch Jesus tempted. We watch Jesus get baptized. We watch Jesus heal the sick. We watch Jesus call the apostles to come and follow him. We watch Jesus here dealing with the sin and Simon's relationship with somebody he is insulted by. And out of that comes a question that we, I guess, are asking at this point. So, who is this Jesus? This is why we would read the gospel. And that's, by the way, the question that's asked there that day in Simon's house at dinner. Listen, those who were at table with Jesus began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" This is a surprising story that we are told by Luke. A surprising story. Surprising because Jesus is invited to Simon's house, Simon the Pharisee. A surprising story because of who this woman is who crashes the party. This woman of the city, this sinner. Surprising because of what Jesus did. Telling his story and forgiving this woman's sins. There are four things I want to lift up here, the things I hope you will take home with you. The first is this. There are a variety of sins because there are a variety of sinners. Do you remember Jesus' story? There was the 500 denarii debtor, and there was the 50 denarii debtor. And they were different. And that's because they were different borrowers, and you could look at our own lives and go, well, we're not all the same. And some of us have gone down to a long way into a dead-end street. And others of us, well, not so bad. In fact, it's really amazing to me what our culture calls okay, all right. and what God doesn't. I mean, for example, Jesus said, you shall not call your brother a fool. And we go, that's not a big deal. Everybody does that. And Jesus, if you do, you're guilty of murder. Jesus says, love your enemies. Do good to those who persecute you. We go, that's stupid. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. Why? If you love your enemies, you'll just get a whole lot more because they all want to be loved. So they'll just, well, be your enemy. Go, no, 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 no. God says, that's how you have peace. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and your neighbor as yourself. And you go, yeah, but you don't realize how busy I am on Sunday mornings. And God says, ah, but that's the point. You see, we say, this is not important. And God says, oh, yes, it is. And Simon goes, oh, you know, those things that I do is not important. But what she does, now that's important. And Jesus said, oh, you're wrong, Simon. You're wrong. You know, both of those people in my story are debtors. And you know what? They're both broke. And they can't pay their debt. And they need to be forgiven. And that includes the woman. Yes, you're right, Simon. And it includes you too. That's Jesus' story to Simon, and that's one of the things I hope. You see, we want to cover it up. I don't know if you've watched the Oscars this year, you know, saw the movie awards handed out. I didn't see them all. I saw some. But one of the things I did notice in the ones that I saw is they all had this kind of common theme. They all started out with this kind of everyday person. They're kind of like garden variety human being. You know, this kind of like going through the day and everything seems to be cool and then crisis. And so whether you're looking at the Irishman, you know, James Hoffa, that starts out to be this president of the Teamster Union, or whether you look at the movie Parasite, which is that weird story from South Korea, you've got the crisis being dealt with by deception. That's a good way to deal with it, they say. Or if you saw Jojo Rabbit, the way you deal with your crisis is to live in an imaginary world. Just ignore reality and pretend like it's something else. Or you look at the Joker, what do? Well, you just cover it up, you see. Enough makeup will do good. And what Jesus says is deception. No. Makeup, not going to make a difference. Imaginary world, not going to work. And Jesus says, do you know what will work? Forgiveness. Someone told me, you know, I asked somebody, have you forgiven the people you feel have wronged you? They said, no, I can't. I said, why not? Well, because they don't repent. I said, well, that's on them. That's not on you. That doesn't keep you from forgiving them. You can forgive them. Now, they may not receive the forgiveness without repentance, but that's not on you. What is on you? How do you free yourself of your anger, your bitterness? How do you do that? Forgiving. Like the lender in Jesus' story. You say, all right, I'm finished with this. You don't owe me anything. I have just paid it. Also, I hope that you can take home that God absolutely forgives. He forgives the woman as much as he forgives Simon. Jesus says to Simon, or asks him the question, do you see this woman? And the answer is, no. I can't see this woman. What I see is a city woman. I see this sinner. And Jesus says to Simon, he says, if you see this woman, you see what I see. It's pretty interesting. Do you see this woman? Asks Jesus. And Simon goes, well, he says to himself, by the way, he doesn't say it to Jesus or anybody else. He says to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who's touching him, for she is a sinner. Simon, do you see this woman? No, I don't. Simon, do you see yourself? No, I don't. Well, Simon, do you see me? Says Jesus. And Simon goes, no, I don't. Simon, you're a blind man. Do you see this woman? Because you're looking at somebody who's been forgiven by God. All of her sin. The whole debt. The third thing I hope you can take away this morning is the only way you can be saved is by faith. Not even the words of Jesus, as powerful, beautiful, and true as they are, can save you. Only your faith. Paul said in Galatians, a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law. Jesus is trying to say the obvious. He's trying to say the obvious to the woman. Woman, it's not your tears. It's not your hair. It's not your perfume. It's not even that you're feeling sad and sorry. It's that you have a relationship with me. Your faith has saved you. God forgives because he is a forgiver. God forgives because he is generous. Not because we are worthy. Not because we know some things that others don't know. God forgives because we need it. We're broken. And the lender knows that those who have borrowed can't pay. They are broken. And he also knows they're broke. And so the lender forgives the debt. Poor Simon. You know, I feel sorry for Simon because Simon went home no different than the way he came. Well, he was home, actually. He was the host at that dinner. But he was no different for Jesus having been there than he was before Jesus came. Poor Simon. He was broken, didn't know it. She did. Poor Simon. He was broke, he didn't know it. Oh, she did. Poor Simon. He didn't know he was forgiven. She did. And that's the fourth thing I hope we can take home. Those who are saved go in peace. Yes, the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we are blessed when we know we are forgiven. Now, that's what the Bible means when it says we are saved. We are saved when we have that relationship with Jesus Christ that says, I forgive you. Now, that relationship with Jesus Christ, we continue here with this meal. With this meal, Jesus has said to us in a very physical way that we are forgiven. And I pray that as we partake of the bread and the cup, that we do so in his name, with the faith and the confidence of that relationship that God would have us have with him. Because it was on the night in which he was betrayed by one of his own that Jesus took bread, and he broke it, and he gave thanks, and he blessed it. And he said, this is my body which is broken for you. Take and eat all of it, because you do this in remembrance of me. And after they had eaten, Jesus took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he blessed it. And he said to his disciples, this is the new covenant in my blood, shed for the remission of your sin. Take and drink all of it, for this you do in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink this cup and eat this bread, you declare my death, my sacrifice, my ultimate relationship with you, until I come again in my Father's kingdom. And I invite you to come, to take, and to eat. You do this in remembrance of him. For those of you who are helping to serve, please come forward.